My topic today is on the last great day. The last great day is known by several names. The Jews call it Shemini Atzeret. But I'll use the Bible term in John chapter 7, verse 37. The last day, the great day of the feast, because that's the name we are all familiar with. Let's turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. They tell us that some 75% of the surface of the globe is covered by water, and also that the human body is about 75% water. This means that water is of vital importance to Earth, its inhabitants, and its vegetation. Without water, we'd have no fish, no animals, no rain, no vegetation, and no food. Without water, the earth would be a barren wilderness, not a lot different from the moon or the other planets. In a word, lifeless. We get our water from various sources: rain and snow, wells, rivers and lakes, and purified seawater. In ancient Israel, as in many countries of the ancient world, towns and villages sprang up along river banks, on the shores of inland lakes, or around wells of water. The village well became a focal social point and meeting place. It was in such a scene that this event happened. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Everyone here has experienced thirst. Some have gone days without anything to drink, and their lips and tongues have split with dryness. But we all know the Savior is not here talking about thirst for ordinary water. He is talking about the thirst of the soul, the dehydration of the human spirit, that wretched state which overtakes the human mind, which has not tasted the water of life. The Bible tells us that the Creator made man in his own image. This means that the human soul needs the water of life just as surely as the human body needs an ordinary drink. The human soul cannot go for long without feeling a thirst. Few people recognize the symptoms of a hungry or thirsty spirit. Desperately, they try to satisfy that spiritual hunger and thirst by plunging into a binge of pleasure, eating, drinking, entertainment, travel, sport, and the list goes on. But spiritual hunger and thirst are not satisfied with these things. Spiritual hunger and thirst calls for spiritual nourishment. That is why the Lord calls us in these words. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 1, reads, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The Savior voiced the same appeal in these words. Matthew Chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now let's talk about the river of life. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, we see a picture of the river of life, as it will flow during the millennial age. Let's turn to that now. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 47, beginning in verse 1. Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and, behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the rivers came down from under from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. On the earth made new, we see the river of life again. As before, it flows from the throne of God. Turn to Revelation 21, verse 5. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy, of this book. Now go to verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life is the only spiritual drink that can satisfy a thirsty human soul. The water of life flows directly from the throne of God. It heals everything it touches. Have you drunk from that water lately? If your soul is thirsty, if it's parched, if it's bitter, if it's broken and almost dead, then drink. Do not hesitate, but drink and live, because the water of life is free. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. To believe means to accept as true. A believer is one who accepts as true all that the scriptures teach. An unbeliever doubts the scripture. He doesn't accept the Bible as the word of God. He rejects Bible teaching. By the way, acceptance or rejection are not products of human reasoning. They are the final expressions of the human will. Young children believe their parents, not because they have worked out all the odds and examined all the evidence, but by simply accepting as true what they are told. To believe what the Bible says is far more than an intellectual process. It is a spiritual act of the human will, an act of faith. Remember this vital point. We adults must believe the Bible with childlike faith. Only then will we understand the Almighty's will and purpose. This is not to say that we are ignorant dummies who will blindly accept everything others tell us. No. What I mean is, we must believe the Bible with childlike faith as the infallible Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever, but that ample proof exists that the Bible is true. But when I first began to believe the Bible, it was not because my mind was first 100% satisfied with all the scientific facts, but rather because I allowed God to place faith in my mind, faith in His holy word. Believe it or not, faith is a gift from God. No one arrives at living faith by treading the scientific route of, first, doubting God's word and doubting God, then testing His word by the standards of textual criticism and experiment, and then somehow arriving at faith. Such a route doesn't exist. If you want living faith, you must ask God for it. I repeat, faith is a gift from God. It comes from hearing and believing the Holy Bible, not doubting it. Faith is not the end result of doubts that have been quelled by facts. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. If you are not willing to believe God's word, the Holy Bible, then you'll be wasting your time in your search for faith and wisdom. You'll learn absolutely nothing because you're looking with the wrong attitude. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, is the only begotten Son of God. Strong's Dictionary defines the word begotten as monogenes, a single of its kind only, used of only sons or daughters. Used of Christ denotes the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on me. Do you believe that Jesus has the same monogenes as God the Father? That Jesus is God in human flesh? That He is the Son of God? If you do not believe that fundamental Christian doctrine, then you are not a believer as far as the Bible is concerned. Because all believers arrive at that simple act of faith by believing the Bible, not by intellectual study, discussion, or experimentation, but by faith which comes from the Father above. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now let's talk about the river of life within us. The river of life has many properties. The river of life proceeds from the throne of God, and it cleanses, purifies, and heals everything it touches. On the physical plane, it is scheduled to heal the bitter salt waters of the Dead Sea, turning it into a lake of surpassing beauty with shoals of fish. This will occur during the Messiah's millennial reign of peace. On the spiritual plane at this present time, the river of life can revive the dying soul of the vilest sinner. pollution, disease, and sin have absolutely no effect on this river. The river of life increases in volume with use. The more one draws from it, the more water it produces. The further it flows, the deeper it becomes. When the river of life flows within the human soul, it totally satisfies its every need. Whosoever drinketh of that water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The river of life then begins to flow through the true believer's life to others, bringing truth, light, hope, faith, and eternal life wherever it goes. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In summarizing, what is Messiah's message for us on this last day, the great day of the feast? His message is a matchless invitation to everlasting life. The fact is, the Almighty doesn't want anyone to perish of spiritual hunger or thirst. He wants us all to live with him for all eternity. That is the beautiful message of the gospel. You must accept it. You must, if you want to live eternally. Vital scriptural facts are: if any man, woman, or child thirst, let them come to me and drink. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Revelation 21:6. And he, the one on the throne, said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The water of life is absolutely pure. It heals and brings life to everything it touches, from the barren wilderness to the broken human heart. The water of life is free. It's yours for the taking. My prayer is that you will accept it without delay. Amen.